Hello and welcome to Recollections, a literary podcast about memory. We are live from Studio 250 with a wonderful live audience. My name is Kate and I'm here with Suit.
Hey!
She'll be reading her short story, Sinking Suns. Suit is from Manhattan Beach, California and writes mostly fictive prose. Her work often centers on familial dramas and she enjoys writing narratives that focus on the psychologies of her characters. Before she begins, a few things about her. She's always loved writing stories. As a child, she would sit at the desktop computer in her dad's home office and write stories. She would then force her entire family, dog included, to gather in the living room and listen as she read them aloud. One of the earliest stories she can remember writing was about a young girl living on a houseboat who one day met a mermaid that takes her to a magical land of merpeople. The grandfather in the story you're about to hear is loosely based on her own grandfather who passed away from Alzheimer's a few years ago. One of her favorite memories with her grandfather was attending a tea room together. She remembers that he ordered Earl Grey because that was his favorite, and she ordered passion fruit with two lumps of sugar.
Well, thank you so much, Kate, for that introduction. I'm excited to be here and to read my piece with you all. So without further ado, here is Sinking Suns. The spaghetti slaps the checkered tile floor, a wet smack followed by the ricochet of white ceramic shards. The room freezes. The only movement is that of a single meatball sent flying across the floor by the impact of the crash. It rolls forward and comes to a stop, nudging against the toe of the waiter's black loafer. Heads turn as the room hushes. We are all swallowed by the stillness. Across the table, my grandfather is standing with red sauce oozing down the front of his white button-down, blooming across his chest like a gun wound. His chair is toppled over behind him, and his expression is perplexed. "Where is Catherine?" he repeats, for what feels like the 100th time, though this time his voice is soft. The frustration and anger have melted, overshadowed now by blended tones of confusion and worry. My mother leans over to the waiter and immediately begins whispering a slur of mumbled apologies. "I'm so sorry. He has Alzheimer's," she explains. "He doesn't remember." "Where is Catherine?" he repeats once more. It's no longer a question. The words leave his lips automatically, emotionless, as the mist behind his eyes dissolves. "She's gone, Dad. Mom's gone." My mother reaches out to place a hand on my grandfather's shoulder. The gaze of the other families beat down on us. I stare at my plate of carbonara and pretend not to notice the air being sucked out of the room. There's a tugging on the strings in my chest pulled tight. I focus on my breathing and pray they don't snap. Grandpa excuses himself to the restroom. "Check on him, Irving," my mother fires to my father in a voice that is her whisper scream. "I'll get the check." I get up and leave without saying anything. I do not wait for the restaurant workers to come mop up the mess. Do not wait for whoever will come to pick up the broken shards we have left. Outside, the sun sinks below the horizon. The world dims to dusk. There is only the humming noise of the ocean crash as wave after wave shatters upon the shore. There is yelling. The people stare. There is shouting. I am shouting. "Dad, please sit. I don't sit." "Sir," the waiter pleads. "I don't sit." "Where is Catherine? I need to find Catherine. I hear my voice, but do not feel the words escape my lips. Do not feel them dissolve into the air. Where is Catherine? Where is she gone this time?" There is whispering. They are whispering and staring, my daughter and the waiter. Secrets drip from her lips, spilling into his ears. "They won't tell me where my Catherine is. No one will tell me where my Catherine is." The waiter nods. His lips purse. He stares into me. His face is saturated in pity. It bleeds in the wrinkled creases near his narrowed eyes lining his furrowed brow. Recognition clicks. A wave of familiarity knocks the wind from my lungs. It is a look I have seen countless times, an expression inked onto countless faceless strangers. And then I remember. Her tone is hushed, her expression pained. He has Alzheimer's. He doesn't remember. Her words swim, slipping through the gaps in her teeth like smoke. He doesn't remember. I blink. The simplicity of my daughter's words smack me in the face. I don't remember. My head spins slowly on its axis. I look. The floor is littered, spilled spaghetti, a broken plate, piercing shards of white ceramic painting the checkered tiles. Where is Catherine? 100 faceless figures I do not recognize. 2 faceless children I sense that I should recognize, I know that I should recognize, but who are just as faceless as the rest. She's gone, a voice murmurs. I lift my gaze to face my daughter. Mom's gone. A waiter, my daughter, her children, an encroaching circle of empty eyes. Artificiality presses down on us. The cardboard figures stare. The synthetic air is stale in my tongue. He doesn't remember. I excuse myself. I walk to the bathroom. The water is rain sliding down my cheeks. I rub my palms against closed eyes, digging the heels deep into the papery skin erasure. I turn the sink off, grip the counter. I lift my gaze. I stare into the face of a man, a father, a grandfather. Interlocking eyes, a hazel ring hugs an ebony iris. My chest sinks. I wait for the day that I will lift my gaze and look into my reflection. The day that I will meet the faceless figure of a man, a father, a grandfather that I do not remember, faded, dissolving among the rest. I take a breath. Today is not that day.
Wow, thank you so much for that amazing reading. I have chills. So let's quickly talk about this piece and some other questions just to get to know you through your experiences with memory. So what inspired you to write this piece?
I think one of the really interesting things about memory that we often forget, that Recollections does a great job of reminding us, is that memories feel incredibly real, but they're actually quite subjective. And so I was interested in this idea of the way two people can have different memories of the same past experience, and it's just different based on their perceptions of that past experience. And so I wanted to write about what constitutes memory as real. You mentioned in my introduction that this piece is loosely based on my own grandfather, and so it was a little frightening, and I did have hesitation stepping into that mental space. But in the end, the writing practice was definitely interesting because it forced me to kind of reflect back on my own past and my relationship with him.
What is your earliest memory?
My earliest memory is in my room. When I was growing up, I used to collect Hello Kitty dolls. And so I think I actually reached up to about 40 of them at one time. And they're all different, like, themes, I guess. They'd have different, like, costumes on. And I literally just lined them up in my room I don't know. I had a ball. I had a show with them. It was great.
If you could erase one completely mundane but unpleasant memory that you're comfortable talking about, what would it be?
So it is unfortunately an embarrassing memory. In elementary school, I was sitting in class and we were doing like a writing exercise. So the room was completely silent. And I sneezed and farted at the same time. And the girl that was sitting next to me goes, "Oh my God, did you just do a butt-chew?" Like, I guess it was like a chew. Anyways, really unpleasant, really traumatizing. I was a child. It's fine. We've moved past it.
Speaking of smells, in case you didn't know, smell is considered to be the sense most closely related to memory. So let's do some rapid fire smell recollection. So what smell reminds you of home?
Lavender.
Vacation.
Coconut.
Family.
Turkey. Like dressing. Like, you know, like gravy. That's the word I was looking for. Gravy.
School.
Pencil shavings.
Change.
Rain.
Childhood.
The car.
Adulthood.
Deodorant.
Rest.
My pillow scent.
Stress.
Hot tamales, like the candy.
What song or songs make you feel nostalgic?
The Beatles.
What's one thing you've forgotten and wish you could remember again?
I wish that I could remember, learning to speak. Even, like, when you're a child, I feel like the first time you ever say a word out loud, if it's a real word, if you could actually remember that, I feel like that would be such a cool experience to have.
And finally, how do memories impact your creative work?
I find that most of my writing I do take from my personal life, and I do take from past experiences. And one of the things that I've actually found that has been a little bit difficult for me is that when you're writing about people that are actually in your life, like people that are very impactful in your life, sometimes taking creative liberties for the sake of the story feels almost like untrue in your relationships with them. And so sometimes I'm like nervous to share my work if there like are certain aspects, even if it's not that entire character as they are, if there's like a little hint of their personality, sometimes I'm afraid of what that person might think of my work as a reflection. But I do think that writing from my own experiences is a large part of who I am in terms of my creative influence. And so I think that even though sometimes it can be a bit scary, it's definitely influential with my work. So great. Well, now let's get to your introduction so our audience can hear a little bit about you. Cates is a poet from Los Angeles who draws inspiration from music and pop surrealist paintings. His poetry is a wiry, colorful, and surreal collapsing of utopia and decay, and he explores themes such as family, mortality, social issues, and of course, memory. In the spirit of recollections, I've asked Cates to share a few memory-related tidbits. Cates recalls that his first memories originated when he was 2 years old. A lot of his prominent childhood memories revolve around trips and car rides to San Diego and Las Vegas to visit family. As a result, he is aesthetically influenced by both marine imagery and the vast expanse of Death Valley. As a child, he often wondered why people didn't look like real cartoons, and he was convinced that growing older meant gradually unlocking all the secrets of the universe. So awesome! So I know we're all really excited to hear your poem, so if you wouldn't mind sharing it with us.
Sure. It's called Lunchtime Education. Slow descent serves soft, on styrofoaming at the mouth, hungrily snorts pixie sticks in middle school cafeterias, ketchup-stained noses askew, from bully blue knuckles and fingernails chewed flat, smearing saliva on an iPod, touch me please, an emo band's 10-year return on investment in a future of pop, rocks, drinking the Kool-Aid, dip-dyed blood-red tendrils, and guy-lined cars at the drive-thru that refract in rearview, chopped into a word salad, mixed green light, red light ablaze across cafeteria tables.
That was great. It was so awesome hearing it in your own voice, too. So, I have a couple questions for you. What inspired you to write this piece?
I mentioned it in the poem, but middle school, just all of the sounds and smells and textures of middle school and how that affects the consciousness of my generation. And it's almost like a sort of overwhelming aesthetic influence of just being in a middle school cafeteria on your adulthood.
What's one of the first poems you remember reading and feeling a strong connection with?
I used to read Shel Silverstein a lot as a child. I would read a poem of his every day during the summer, like Falling Up.
In line 7 and 8, you write, fingernails chewed flat, smearing saliva on an iPod. What's one of the first songs you remember downloading onto your first iPod?
I actually inherited my first iPod, so the first song I listened to on it was Fireflies by Owl City.
Great song. What a throwback. So when you write, do you write mostly from personal experience and past memories, or do you find that you often make things up?
It's a mix. I try to use specific reference points from my life to give my settings and characters and images life, but a lot of it is sort of an imagination of what I'm trying to say, not necessarily strictly from memory.
Would you consider yourself as having a strong memory, or do you easily forget things?
I have a generally strong memory, but of course it just depends on what sticks out to me. Like, I can memorize things, but I can't remember what I had for breakfast 3 days ago.
If you had the option to be a mind reader with the ability to search through other people's past memories, would you take it?
Yes, only if I could turn it off. Because I feel like in mind reading movies, the protagonist who gains mind reading abilities usually struggles with the overwhelming influx of information from other people's lives. So as long as I could filter out stuff, I think I'd like that. I think I could do good with it.
Great. And then, so I think we only have a few minutes left. So for our fun, innovative exercise, we decided we were going to play a free word association game. So we're just gonna go back and forth, rapid fire, and we're just gonna all give a word, and then you'll say the first word that pops into your mind.
Based on presumably our memories.
On a past experience,
right,
or a memory.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so we'll just go back and forth.
Yes.
I'll start. Egg.
Toast. Well, I'll share a memory. 2 days ago. I had eggs and toast. All right.
Excellent.
Shell.
Oh, when I was in preschool, my teacher would put in the sandbox, she called them treasures. They were like little sequins and things. So we would like dig it up like we were digging up seashells on a beach.
I love that. That makes me so happy.
Horizon.
One of my favorite memories is it was the night before me and my friends, we were seniors in high school and we were about to all go off to college. There's this one like road in our town and it's along the beach. And so we like drove past it right as like the sun was setting and it was like just blasted, I'm sure, some terrible song that was on the top 10 list of the radio at the time that we were all leaving. And it was our last night together and the sunset was just beautiful on the horizon.
That's a great memory.
Helmet.
Learning how to ride a bike around my empty elementary school playground. Let's shift to some quotations for free association. This is from Alice Freeman's poem, Seeing It Through. Honey hair and the sunsuit mother made from a scrap.
So that makes me think of mother made from a scrap. My mom, when I was little growing up, she would hand make every single one of my Halloween costumes. Wow. Every single year, and she would hand sew them. And my favorite year was one year I was like a flapper, and so she made this beautiful like sequin flapper dress for me, and I love her so much. But anyways, so yeah, thank you guys all so much for joining us. We had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun going back through years and years of childhood repressed things that I probably forgot.
So, live from Studio 250, I'm Kate.
And I'm Suit.
And thank you so much for joining us for Recollections, and you will hear us next time. Don't forget us.